That's right. I'm a fifth father. Come on. Come on, is there some fifth fathers in the room this morning? Oh, it's my baby. Can you say hi? She's not going to, by the way. Can you say hi? She doesn't perform. If you catch her and you just say hi to her, she'll definitely say hi back. She just won't do it. Can we pray? All right, yeah, let's pray. You do it? Yay, let's pray. Oh, there we go. Awesome. Listen, guys, I am a fit father. Try to not be too distracted by this beautiful baby up here. Listen, I'm a fit father. I don't babysit my own kids. I watch them. I'm a father. All right? If you see me with my children, don't ask me, hey, are you babysitting today? Because I'm not. Because I father my kids. I'm a fit father. Do you know what I'm saying? I can babysit your kids. I can babysit other kids. But I watch mine, right? I father my kids. I'm a fit father. Listen, I can change poopy diapers. Explosive, potty training, underwear diaper type situations. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. That's right. High fives? Yes. Listen, I'll get up in the middle of the night, change a wet bed, clean up some throw up. I'm a fit father. I can handle that most of the time. Let's be real. Right? Come on. I'm a fit father. I can lead in my home with justice and compassion because I'm a fit father. I can set the tone for how to take a stand for what I believe in and yet still walk in humility and understanding in my home. I'm a fit father. That's right. All right, Aria. Do you like it up here? Listen, does she look like me? Just a little bit? Sometimes? A very pretty version of me? That's right. All right, let's let her go this morning. Can you give it up for Aria? Hold on. Say bye. Hey, bye, Aria. She's like, I don't want to go. I want to be up there. Listen, come on. Some of you guys have heard it. You look just like your dad, right? She gets that a lot sometimes. Sometimes my kids do. I get it a lot. It makes me super proud when I hear that. When people see me and they're like, you look just like your dad. If you see my dad, you'll understand. When I used to live up in Reading, my dad would come up and visit me. And sometimes I would be on the worship team or something. I'd be backstage. And people would see my dad, not knowing who he was, never met him before. And they'd walk up and be like, you're Dustin's dad, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, who are you? You know, they're like, you look just like him. I knew it, you know. And now he lives up there. And so when I go up to visit him, people will come up to me all the time. Like, are you Steve Box's son? I'm like, that's right, I am. Thank you very much. Right? It makes me proud. It makes me proud that people see that. In John 14:7, it says this. If you've seen the Father, or, oh, man. In John 14:7, it says this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't that right? Come on. We're supposed to look like our dads. That's how it works. It's an awesome, awesome gift. And this morning, I want to encourage you. Some of us have had awesome earthly fathers. Some of us have had maybe not the best earthly fathers. And this morning, I want, and my heart is to see God redeem the image of a perfect father, a heavenly father for you. His plan for you is that you can look just like him. That people, when they look at you, are going to be like, man, you look just like your dad. You look just like the father. And you're like, that's right. Thank you very much. You know, in the media, sometimes fathers can get a bad rap, right? Sometimes in commercials and in TV shows. Let's show a couple of these pictures up here. Sometimes, you know, they don't always necessarily get portrayed in the best light, right? It's funny sometimes, the doofus dad, right? It can be funny. Let's show the next one. But it's not always great. It kind of gives us an image that's not necessarily always true. Let's show this next one up here. I want to read this to you. Check this out. It says this, like dogs or other house pets, new dads are filled with good intentions but lacking the judgment and fine motor skills to execute well. That's offensive. That's not me. I have very good fine motor skills, and I have every ability to clean my house if I need to. And I do, right? I actually fold laundry better than my wife. I also used to work in retail, and my mom was really rigid in how we folded clothes. So, I mean, you know. I'm kidding. She totally admits it. She actually prefers that I fold the laundry. She's like, she'll start folding it, look at me, and on purpose fold it crooked. And inside, I'm like, oh! She's like smiling as she does it because she knows. I'm like, all right, give me the shirts. And I'll fold them, you know. Let's look at this next one. Listen, we got to be honest. As bad as the media portrays dad, sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Let's just be real. It's all right. Oh, man, that is just brutal. Let's look at the next one. Listen, this is a Marin County dad. You know how I know? Because he's using a organic, non-GMO cleaning substance to remove the ketchup from his baby's face. Listen, that's how you do it, all right? Baby wipes, they have chemicals in them. You don't want that on your child's face. Let's look at the next one. Oh, you're not a dad if this hasn't crossed your mind at least once walking through Home Depot. I'm sure every father has thought, I wonder how much weight I can hold with this plunger. Right? Let's look at the next one. Oh, listen. Just no. No. All right? Don't do this. This is not what the baby Bjorn was intended for or designed for in any way. Extremely dangerous, right? Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. But you know what? This room, I know, is filled with some amazing fathers. And what gets portrayed in the media is not really accurate of the role we carry in our families and in our homes. I want to show a couple other pictures real quick. This one, look at that. Oh, come on. That touches my heart, especially now that I have a baby girl. I'm like, I fix her hair, I get the little bow in it, and then she looks at me. I'm like, oh, you look so beautiful. And she's like, she'll rub it. Or if my wife is getting her ready in the morning, she'll put a little necklace on her or clip a little bow in her hair. And without even prompting, she comes running to where I'm at and will yell, ah! And then stop in front of me and just wait for me to, like, see it. You know, and as soon as I see it, I'm like, oh, you look so beautiful. She's like, ah. She smiles and will touch it and just melt my heart. Let's look at the other one. This was cool. This is me working on my computer at home all the time. I don't get work done at home because of this, but it's awesome. Come on. There's some great dads in this room. These are the pictures that represent you guys and represent the majority of fathers here. This morning, my heart is that you can get a glimpse of who the Father is and who the Father intends to be in your life, as well as the fathers in this room and the future fathers in this room get a glimpse of who God is making them in their families and in our community. Fathers are a critical, critical component of our society. You know, they've done a lot of studies over the past where they, you know, looking at empathy and nurturing and seeing the role of mothers in the home. And what happened was that several years ago, they started to notice that there were certain things happening with students and young people that was inconsistent with what their theories were. So they started doing more studies looking at other components aside from mothers. And the father was a big one that they began to look at. And it's incredible the statistics and data that they've pulled together over the last 30 years of the role and involvement of fathers in the home. And I just want to show you a couple of these because I want you to see that we understand that God is called a heavenly father. And we read it throughout scripture, but sometimes we don't always connect that with the practical way that it actually plays out just in the physical realm, the way God created us. We were created in his image. And because of that, when we live our life just the way he created us, it's incredible the difference and change that begins to happen in people around us. You know, there's a factor in education. This one's interesting. Father involvement in schools, right? When you're involved with your kids' education, your student is more likely to get A's. And that's whether you're a biological father, a stepfather, whether you're a father heading a single family home. Did you know that? If you are a single dad raising your kids are more likely to get A's than if a mother was raising them. Now, moms are super critical. Don't get me wrong here. Listen, they play a critical and vital role. But we're just looking at fathers today, all right? Let's look at this. There's a study that they did. There's a bunch of different studies. But they did this one where they studied these five-year-olds. And 30 years later, they looked at their lives. And they pulled together some different ones. And there's two different studies, one involving teen moms over 10 years. And it's incredible. This is what they found. They found that the father-child contact was associated with better socio-emotional stability and academic functioning, which means that they were able to function socially with people better. They were more secure in themselves. They dealt with less insecurities. And they had better grades. And this is from teen moms. These are the ones that are like at-risk teenagers. And this was whether the father was actually like they were married or the father was just present in the child's life. Isn't that crazy? That like just the presence of that relationship changed these teenagers' lives. There's a bunch of them. One of the studies it shows, this is a fun one. If mothers attend church regularly with their children, but without the father, only 2% will choose to become regular churchgoers as adults. If a father attends church regularly with his children, even without the mother, 44% will choose to become regular churchgoers. That's not even factoring in God doing something in their life, all the other stuff. It's just the mere presence that you are at church with your kids, leading by example. Isn't that powerful? Just your presence alone. It's incredible, some of these other statistics. One of the ones that I love is the look at empathy. Are you familiar with what empathy is? Empathy is emotional intelligence. It's an ability to identify the emotions of people around you, to have sympathy, to have compassion, and be able to adjust your behavior, adjust how you're interacting with them based on what's going on in their life. An ability to identify how they're feeling, what's up in their life, whether you're... It's the same thing that allows you to, you know, as a child, be eating a piece of cake, look over, see a friend not having cake, and say, hey, you want a bite? That's empathy. That's understanding. Oh, they don't have cake. They really want cake. Here, have some of mine. Empathy is a critical component. It's the one thing that's different between somebody that is a psychopath, like a serial killer, right? Somebody that they don't have empathy. And somebody that's like a normal functioning person is empathy. It's critical. Originally, the theories were that the mother provides that, right? If you look at a family home, who is the most empathetic person you typically think of, right? Would be the mom. Let's just be real. Moms are very empathetic. They're very nurturing. It's amazing. What they began to see, though, is that what the father does in balancing this interaction for their children is it does this. When the father is involved in childcare, spending time alone with his children, performing routine childcare at least twice per week. So you don't have to be a stay-at-home dad. You don't have to be the Mr. Mom. You don't have to be any of that. You just have to be involved with your kids. Changing diapers, taking them to functions, being a dad, hanging out with them, going to the park, right? What happens is, when they began to look at that, it was the most important factor in developing empathy was the father-child relationship. The second most was the mother's acceptance of the child's dependent behavior. In the study in Sweden, they found that the father-infant connection at 1 year old is what determines if a child is able to be confident and secure when meeting new people. Not their personality type, not whether they were shy or outgoing, not if they were an introvert or extrovert. None of those things mattered. But when a person that they didn't know came up to meet the child, if the child was able to look at them, like accept them, be okay, comfortable in that situation, was if the father had a relationship with them when they were around 1 year old. Isn't that crazy? What they began to find was that this father relationship is actually what provides a security, which is a different kind of security than what the personal security that a mom provides. It's a security with being in and belonging to a world where others aren't familiar. It's this sense of security. When I don't know what's going on out here, there's a place of security that this relationship with a father provides. Isn't that amazing? You know, some of you may not have had a great father in your life. Some of you may not have had a great relationship. Maybe he wasn't around. Maybe he died. Maybe your parents divorced. Maybe he wasn't a great person. Maybe he had his own struggles and stuff. The Heavenly Father is here as a father to make up that difference in your life. If you have a hard time facing unfamiliar circumstances and situations, the Heavenly Father is here this morning to come in and to provide that security for you to face a world to face a world that you're unsure of, to face circumstances. When you go into your job and you don't know people and you're like, okay, this is a difficult situation. That connection with your Father, whether he be the Heavenly Father or even just an earthly father in your life, is what provides a foundation for you to approach that with confidence, knowing, I can do this. I can make it. I've got what it takes. That's why that video, I love that video that we showed about, I can do this. You can do this. You can do this, because that's what a father's actually providing in their kid's life. They set a tone in a home, don't they? Fathers do. They set the tone. This is interesting. Jeremiah 31:29. The fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. Come on. How many of you dads have come home from work just a little too stressed and it shows up in your kids? Right? Come on, let's just be real. I do it sometimes. I come home and I'm not aware of the fact that I just am kind of stressed out or frustrated with something. My wife will very politely say, you're not being very fun. Go to your room until you're ready to be fun. When you're ready to be fun, you can come out. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go have fuss time, right? I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. Come on, how many fathers? Let's just be real. Come on, amen. They establish identity and security. It's so important in a kid's life. What I want to do this morning is we want to look at the fit followers. We want to look at this as an acronym to help you remember this, to see what the Heavenly Father is for you and what you can be in your family and in your community as a fit father. Ignore the cheesiness. It's okay. It's just to help you remember. There's three key things that I want us to look at this morning. Are you guys ready for this? Let's look at this first one, F, right, for fit fathers. It's fanatical. Did you know God is a crazy, fanatical God? Come on. It's a little silent. God's loud. We'll get the right slide up there eventually. It's all right. All right. Fit fathers. Listen, God is a crazy, crazy, fanatical God. He made you with passion. He made you to be a fan. He's the God that made you, that goes crazy at the football games, that stands up on your couch screaming when the Warriors and the Cavs are going at it, right? And then the Warriors win and you're like, yes. Revival has come to the Bay Area. Yeah, 40 years. Come on. Right? Listen. Oh, man, God made you with that passion. He made you that way. He made you as a crazy fan. God is your biggest fan. He's the one that's standing at the edge of his throne, just screaming out, check this out, check this out. Milt, look, look, he's about to make this really good choice. Oh my gosh. Did you just, he didn't get angry at his wife. Come here, Gabriel, get him. Like, he grabs the angels. He grabs people around him. He grabs heaven's attention to look at you as you're about to make a decision. Look at that. Dustin didn't get angry at Cohen for asking for ice cream for after the 14th time. Look at that. This is so amazing. He cheers you on. He believes in you. Zephaniah 3:17 is such a cool verse because of what it contains. I want to read this. It says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This word rejoice is not just like, whoo, hallelujah. That's not what it's talking about. This is what it means. It says it's a primitive root word. It actually means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion. God doesn't sit in heaven and give you a golf clap. Good job. Well done, son. I'm very proud of you. I want to just free you up this morning. Sometimes we associate maturity with a control of our emotional expression. This morning, you need to know that the more mature you get, the more expressive you should be. The more mature you become, the more crazy, fanatical, oh, I believe in you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're amazing. They use this example when John is in heaven looking at it. In the book of Revelation, the 24 elders are around the throne, and what do? When God's glory gets shown out, they jump off their thrones, throw themselves on the ground, throw their crowns off, freak out. Oh, holy, holy, holy. The elders, that's how they worship. The elders, the ones that are supposed to be mature. Guys, I have on my nice clothes, my skinny jeans. Don't stretch that way. Do you know what I'm saying? No, man, they're ripping their shirt, making space. Come on, they're throwing themselves off. That's how God is. God is a screaming fan in your life. He says, I believe in you. You can make it. I look at my kids and I'm like, come on, you got what it takes. I don't need a baby gate. Come on, you can make it down these stairs. Listen, we only had 2 stairs, okay? I wasn't crazy, all right? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? They believe in you. Come on, God is calling all heaven's attention to you. As a dad, it's a critical piece to be able to communicate that to your children. That no matter where you are, I believe in you. You are amazing. You can make it. You can make it. You know, sometimes, you know, my wife helps balance me out a little bit because I can be intense, as you can tell, right? But we'll be places, maybe at a park or somewhere, and I let my kids kind of experiment. I let them explore. You know, I let them get to the edge of that thing. I don't stop them from running if they might skin their knee. Why? Because they need to learn that they can handle a skinned knee. They're totally capable of a skinned knee. Just a little blood, not a big deal, right? So, but sometimes they'll be playing and other people like run over to like help them with something. And I'm like, oh, no, they're okay, you know. And my wife's like, calm down, it's okay. You know, and I'm like, no, they're really okay. Don't pick them up, you know. Like, hey, you all right, buddy? You got this? Come on, take a breath. Yeah, that's right. You're okay. Come here. Let's take a look. Do you know what I'm saying? Why? Because I want them to know they are capable. They don't need me just to come in and hover over their life. They are capable of handling this situation. I'm here to support you. I'm here to back you. And I believe in you. You can make it. You can do it. You have what it takes. That's what God is saying in your life. You have what it takes. You have what it takes to face the situation you're in. That scary situation that you're facing right now, whether it's financial, whether it's a marriage, whether it's situations with your children or with work, you have what it takes. God is screaming it from heaven. You're amazing. You can make it. You can make it. The next thing we need to look at is the I. It stands for in touch. In touch. You got to stay in touch with your kids. You have to stay in touch with where they're at. You know, my children are not 14 and 15. They're 6 and 3 and 1. Right? I have to stay in touch with how they interact and what they do and the way they play and the way they do things. I have to stay in touch with their emotions, what they're experiencing. You know, the fact that you can't go to bed with your Superman toy. I understand it's the biggest thing you've ever faced in this world. But I'm here for you. I don't need to make you feel bad for feeling that way. Even though inside I'm dying laughing. Right? Like, I mean, we've all seen a kid break down. And it's like, no, man, you got this. I'm right here with you. I'm in touch with where you're at. I know this is the biggest thing you've faced to date. Jumping from the side of the pool into the water. I understand. You've never faced anything more scarier. But I'm right here. I'm in touch with where you're at. Come on, let's do this. We can do this together. Stay in touch. In Mark 10, verse 13 through 16, it says this, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Excuse me. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them and blessed them. There's lots of verses in the Bible that we can see God being in touch with where people are at. I love this story because you need to know the way God sees kids is he doesn't see them as the future. He doesn't see them as a nuisance. They are the church. He's in touch with exactly where they're at. He knows that they love him, that they want to be crazy and expressive, and he's okay with it. You know, I was this parent. How many of you parents have been somewhere and you're like you're with your kid and you want to like bring them up. You know what I mean? You see it on like presidential stuff. The president's walking and people are like, kiss my baby. Kiss him. Kiss my baby. Right? I can imagine this is what's going on. There's parents there. Jesus is teaching, maybe healing people. And they're like, I just want Jesus to like bless my child. Like, this is amazing. This is the Messiah. Right? And this would have been me with my 3 crazy, energetic children. Right? Aria, man, she is a fireball. She will pull Cohen off the couch to wrestle with him. She's not even two yet. She'll grab his leg and just pull him straight off the couch. And then jump on, and they, it's awesome, right? But I can imagine these parents are there. These kids come, like, running up there, and it's like the disciples are probably just rolling their eyes like, who brought these children? This is so disrespectful, right? Come on, get your kids out of here. Like, keep them quiet. And Jesus is like, no, you don't. Bring those kids up here. You need to see this. We are in touch with where these children are at. And a father, you need to maintain that reality with your kids. You need to maintain that where they're at right now matters. You can't wait till they're 14, 15, 16, 17 to be like, oh, then I can take them to a game or then I can do this with them. No, you need to find out where they're at right now and stay in touch with where they're currently at in life. The Father does that with us. He speaks our language. He speaks to you right with where you're at, the situations you're going through. He doesn't judge you for not having learned this lesson yet. Oh, you mean you can't handle the situation you're in? Come on. No, he's right there with you. Like, I know this is the biggest thing you've ever faced, and I'm right here with you. We have to be present with our kids. We have to be present. To be in touch, you have to be present. You know, it's amazing. When I'm with my children, you know, sometimes I'll read emails or books or whatever, play games on my phone. You know, I come home, I'm sitting there relaxing. And as soon as I sit on the couch, the kids come running up to try to climb on my lap. And they just want to be with me, right? Which is awesome. It makes me super happy. But I have a bit of a short attention span, which results in me being really focused when I'm working on something or doing something. So anything that kind of distracts from that can start to rise up. That frustration, you guys know what I'm talking about. That like, oh, stop, get off of me, stop saying my name. Don't climb on my lap right now, right? It's incredible. The moment I put my phone down, those same things that were just annoying me is the very thing that makes me fall in love with my kids. As soon as I'm present with them is the moment that daddy, daddy, daddy is like, oh, it just melts my heart. Come here, baby. Come here. Right? It's like one sitting on my lap. The other one's pushing the other one off to try to get on my lap. The other one's climbing on my back and I'm trying to read something. And it's annoying. I put my phone down and instantly I love it. Every moment of it. God is present with us. He's in touch with us. And that is our example. He knows the language of our hearts. It's time to learn the language of our children's hearts. It's time to learn what language their heart speaks and begin to speak it to them. Let's look at this last one. T. This is standing for teachable. Teachable. Psalm 132, verse 12. If your sons will keep my commandment, my covenant, excuse me, and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall... It's all right. Their sons shall sit upon your throne forever. I got this. I got this. God's saying it. Come on, hold on. I love this one. Because it's saying, he's saying, like, listen, I'm going to teach your kids and then their kids. It's a generational thing. Being teachable, maintaining that in our heart allows it to be generational. This example to flow through our kids. Let's look at this other one. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Guys, it is critical to maintain fitness in your life. You have to maintain a teachable spirit. To maintain becoming more fit, you have to maintain equally a teachable heart. You know, when I'm learning something, if you're in the gym, if you go to the gym or you work out or you do any sort of dancing or martial arts or any sort of thing like that, if you're not teachable, you don't succeed. Like, if you don't maintain an attitude that says, hey, you might know more than me, and I'm willing to hear you, you will not succeed. Being teachable is an attitude that you have to maintain in your heart while at the same time able to maintain a confidence and a security in the decisions you're making and how you move forward. It's incredible to look at how God actually models this for us. Did you know God models a teachable heart? Some of you guys may not know this. God actually models this for us. But it's critical. You know that thing that makes you successful at your workplace, where you can make a decision and move forward with it with confidence? If you don't at the same time develop a teachable heart, it will hamstring you from being able to go forward. At home, with the relationships with your wife, it will destroy your ability to hear from your wife, to be able to hear from your kids. I want to show you this verse, and this is we're gonna wrap up at this. Exodus 32, verse 9 through 10, and then we'll skip down to verse 14. It says this: "Then the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone so my fierce anger can blaze against them and I will destroy them." How many dads have felt like that? Come on. Stand back, wife. I'm coming in. The hammer's about to drop. My anger is blazing against the children. Come on. Listen, you all know you felt that more than once. But this is what he says. He keeps on. It says this: "Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation." We skip down to verse 14. What happens is Moses actually says, "Hey, God, you can do this. You made a promise with these people, and your promise says something to the nations around the world." It has this very powerful verse. It says, "So the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people." The Lord changed his mind. Now, there's a lot of messages I've heard preached out of this that are so powerful, but I want us to look at this one thing. Where God has invited Moses into relationship with him, where he can trust Moses with this process he's experiencing and the emotions of his heart. And in that moment, God is willing to let his friend speak into his perspective on what was going forward. If God couldn't have trusted Moses' heart in this situation, he wouldn't have probably had this interaction with him, I don't believe. But he was able to trust him. This is why it says, "This is my heart. This is my friend. I speak to him face to face," because God trusted his heart. There are people in your life that you have got to trust them. You have to be willing to hear the voice of the Lord speaking into you and speaking into your situation from any place. Somebody with a teachable heart is willing to hear that voice from God, from people you don't like, from your spouse when you don't want to listen to them, right? From your kids. You know, there's a moment, Tristan, ever since he was really little, has been very articulate with the way he's communicated. One of the first times that really floored me with this, he was 3 and a half, and he had done something, got in really big trouble, and was just pushing the buttons as well, so I was kind of frustrated, and I responded to him in not the best way. I'm sure I yelled at him or raised my voice or kind of got intense and sent him to his room, you know. And so I go up there and we had the dad-father talk, you know. Don't do this, don't whatever, you know, that whole thing. We get done and I'm getting ready to walk out. And, you know, he apologizes, everything he's done. He goes, "Dad?" And I'm like, I was getting ready to walk out. You know, I'm like, "Yeah?" He's like, when we were downstairs and you yelled at me, And you looked like this." He said, "When you did that, it felt like my heart broke into 1,000 pieces. He's 3 and a half, mind you. Now, I could have responded with the, "Yeah, that's because you did something wrong." Right? That's what happens. It's going to feel like that. But no. I didn't, because I heard God's heart in what he was saying. My son was reaching out to reconnect with me, saying, "Father, I understand what I did was wrong, but please don't treat me this way. It hurts my heart when you treat me this way. It hurts me." And it was in that moment, I was like, "You know what, son? You're right. I'm sorry. No one deserves to be talked to like that. Even when you're in trouble, even when you did something wrong, I don't have to talk to you that way. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And being able to step into that place where I humble myself and I apologize to my child. In that moment, he understands, like, wow, it's okay. We can apologize. We can make mistakes. And we can be teachable. Even when in that situation he had done something wrong, you're able to hear the wisdom from the Father speaking into your life. And I'm going to tell you what, that is one of the most critical pieces that you can model for your children. Is how to be humble in relationship and yet still be able to make a stand for what's right. To be able to stand for what you believe in with confidence, with security, to make decisions, move forward. Hey, this is where we're going. This is where we're heading. This is what God has placed on my heart. This is what we're doing as a family. We pray together about it. We see God. We move forward. And yet at the same time, being able to hear the voice of wisdom being spoken into my life from different places. You know, we all have that person, right? And we know, you know, at your job, that's the last person you ever want to have correct you, right? That person. And yet being able to hear the wisdom from the Father being spoken from that individual. It's such a critical piece. These are the things that make a fit father. Being a fanatic. Being fanatical. Oh, I believe in you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm so proud of you. Right? Being in touch. Being present with where they're at. Being in touch with them in the current moment. And then maintaining this place of humility in your life where you're able to be teachable. The moment you stop learning is the moment you stop growing. And being able to maintain that and model that for your children, for the people around you. This is who God is for you this morning. God wants to redeem the image of a perfect father for you this morning. God wants to set you up to succeed. He wants to set you up with security in your life so that you can face the scary situations, hearing heaven shouting your name, celebrating you, saying, "We believe in you. You can make it. You can do it."